Good morning, everyone. I'll call the Senate Education Committee meeting to order. It is approximately 8:03 a.m. on Wednesday, February 15th. With me today are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens, Senator French, and myself, Senator Joe Thomas. We do have a quorum, conduct business. Do we have anything to come before the committee before we get started? Okay, good. Today we'll continue our discussion with SB 194. We went through the bill on Monday and there were some significant questions raised during the presentation, and we have taken care of all of those questions, you know, so we expect some more though. But anyhow, we have Murray this here this morning. He'll go through that, so if he'd please come up. But I would like to say that we will also hear public testimony today. And many states have struggled with the same issue we're working with, low-performing schools. Some states have active plans to help their schools. In Alaska, we have local control, so we have to, you know, kind of work with that situation and make sure that we involve the communities as well. And that's what we're trying to do with this bill, is make sure that it's a collaborative effort to work with the communities, the district, and the department to make sure we address the issues and get those schools back on track. That's really our purpose here. Senate Bill 194 targets our lowest performing schools for additional help from the Department of Education and the local communities. While there is no silver bullet, we haven't found that yet anyhow, for fixing all the educational problems, we cannot afford to stand idly by and let low performing districts continue to struggle on their own. SB 194 gives the department, local communities, and district superintendents the tools they need to help our students succeed. So, Murray, with that, if you'd care to just walk us through the changes that we made from the other day, and we're not necessarily offering a CS. We wanted to just make sure, rather than just turning paper here, that we addressed the issues before we actually did that. So,
when you sat down, there was a piece of papers stapled together that looked like this at your places, and that's what we'll be working through to show you the changes that have been made since our last meeting. We took into account very seriously all the things that you had said. On the first page, there are no substantial changes yet. On the second page, the changes have been marked in red. And going down to line 27, and this was just, I just copied the bill and then put it onto. So this is the original bill we were looking at, copied onto a Word document, and then with the changes made. On line 27, Senator French asked for ways to measure. Yes, ma'am. It's beside you right there, I believe.
Oh, is this just
yes, ma'am.
This?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. That's it.
All right.
So we're on page.
You had one in the packet I gave, but I worked on it some more last night and did some more changes. So Senator French wanted clarification on some of the audit things that we're doing, and we added his suggestions for there that we look at the degree of high standards, we look at the degree of collaboration, and the degree of family and community involvement. And so I believe we have taken care of that issue there, I hope. On the next page, line 10, we wanted to make sure that we were involving all the parties, and that's the hope of this bill, is that it's a collaborative bill. And so for schools, the other significant change that is made in this bill, let me just say this at the outset, is originally we offered it as coming with both schools and districts, and we've targeted schools here. So the district language mostly, it should be all taken out. There may be some left in that I haven't found, but when it comes back from legal and the CS, if that's the wish of this body, then it will just refer to schools and rather than to whole districts at a time. And so in line 10, when they set up the governance council, and that's another change I'll talk about in a second, if it continues to be a low-performing school, the department, in conjunction with the local school board and the district superintendent, we changed the word shall to may. And so all of these things that we talked about last week about what can happen will be happening in collaboration, and then the department may do these things. They aren't mandated to do any one of them, but they may do any of these things that they deem helpful in collaboration with those other bodies. The next change, if you go to line 24, there was some confusion, I think, over the role of the Governance Council, and I'm sorry that I did not make that more clear, that is the term that's used around the nation for these councils, but they are advisory only. We are not usurping the role of an elected school board. They serve similar to a subcommittee of a school board. The word governance council is used in Michigan, California, Texas, Tennessee, Illinois, and most extensively Connecticut. But we changed the name so we can take the confusion away, because in talking with some of the people in these states, there was some confusion about that, and parents got onto these, teachers got onto these, thinking they were governing and they were actually advisory committees. In line 10, a school that has not been designated as a revitalization school or district may, through the school board, request the establishment of a revitalization advisory council. And we're making sure that we're making that people know that this is an advisory council. Most of the changes in here reflect the fact that it's a title change for that particular group. Instead of calling it a governance council, it's a revitalization advisory council. And another significant change in line 31, three members of the school board instead of one will be allowed to sit on it. So we'll make sure that there's participation within the local school board. And the rest of the changes on the next page, and I'm sorry these weren't numbered, deal with the revitalization council and changing the name and changing shalls to may. The page following that, that starts at the top, review the annual draft prepared under AS 1403-120, so we're on all on the same page. On line 13, if no agreement can be attained, it's not an either or. We added the phrase, if a local revitalization council comes up with a draft, they present to the school board. The school board says, well, we don't like a lot of that, but we like parts of it. Then you can use, we use the phrase, a mixture of the two. So they're not, it's not an either-or process for the local school board. They can take the advisory council's suggestions, and they can say, we'll do 1, 2, and 3, but not 4 and 5. In other words, they can incorporate a mixture of those two. And in line 18, we reflect that further by saying that they can adopt the model or parts of that model. The next page.
The second line 18 on that page. They got kind of run together here, so we apologize for that.
Yeah. The next page that starts at the top, Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965, is just a name change, as is the last page. In summary of this bill, it takes a proactive stance towards low-performing schools. Instead of someone waiting for someone to do something to help these schools, and though someone's being undefined about who's going to do it, this defines who's going to do what for the schools that are lowest-performing schools in the district. It offers continual help for the low-performing schools. There will always be a pool of the bottom 3% that will be getting help from the department, from their local school boards, and from these revitalization councils. It provides the department specific latitude in what it can and cannot offer. It provides for an extensive audit of the conditions in these schools. The audit takes into account community factors as well as performance within the schools. It gives teachers, principals, and parents a voice in how they can help their schools. By using revitalization councils, that's the one process we found that can actively involve teachers in the process of trying to figure out how to help a school. Teachers are often, they're not members of school boards, they're not on staff. They may be ex-teachers on staff, but generally the teachers on the ground are not on staff within the administration. And often they're the ones that can come up with suggestions on what could be done that would make real changes in the classroom. And this bill gives schools every opportunity to make changes before an intervention becomes necessary. So thank you for your consideration.
Realize it's a little difficult sometimes with things taken out of context from without having a CS before it, but we did want to at least run through these and also get to public testimony this morning. So any specific questions? I'm not saying we solved all the issues here, but it'll become more apparent the meaning of things when you see the CS, but we did address those issues that were brought up on Monday. So any other specific questions before we take public testimony? Senator Meyer.
Just one, Mr. Chairman, and I know you want to get to public testimony, but these advisory councils, how effective are they in these other states that you researched? I mean, it seems to me like the school board might listen to them, but they will still do whatever they want to do.
I talked, through the chair, I talked extensively with the woman who's in charge of the advisory councils in Connecticut, and she said that this is their second year of running them, and they've established 200 councils in 1 year and are getting them up and running. In some, they've seen some significant results. The school boards are working very well with them. In some, they're having problems because of the name change, governance versus advisory. And there are some parents who believe that this involves a parent trigger law, which it does not. And so they're having to do a lot of sorting out. In the areas where they have given the advisory councils clear guidance for what they're doing, they've seen some significant changes, but no model has been developed. In Georgia, one of the articles I gave you in that extensive handout of background materials, the school board is actually asking the advisory councils for their opinion on what they can do for the specific schools in the district. And how they've used them, I'm going to be talking with the chair of that school board this afternoon on what they've been doing. In other places, for instance, I was talking to the Kodiak School District yesterday. They have them in schools already, and they're using them very well in the schools. This would just mandate that they would be in our low-performing schools so that we would have these as one more tool. They are not the silver bullet, and as the Moore case says, there is no silver bullet in education. And in some places, I'm not given the data that I have read, in some places, if they don't really have the ability to get the ear of a school board and to voice their concerns, then they have not been as effective in places like that. But in places where they have been able to get the ear and where the school board takes them seriously, there have been a few significant changes that have taken place.
And Mr. Chairman, it seems like most school boards are elected positions. So if the elected school board members are not listening to the community via the advisory councils, then you always have the option of not re-electing them. So
that would be true, sir. Yes, absolutely. To quote Commissioner Morse, you're absolutely right.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Other questions? Hearing none, we will begin public testimony then at this point. Do we have none? Do we have anybody in the audience that is signed up? I think we had at least a few, so certainly. Thank you. Barb Angayat, please come forward, put yourself on the record, and proceed with your testimony. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. For the record, I am Barb Angayak. I'm the president of NEA Alaska. I'm also a 30-year teaching veteran in rural Alaska, all of it in Alaska. And I want to talk about this bill because I think this is an excellent attempt to do something that has been needed for a long time, regardless of what other laws may impact our need to do this type of work. So I applaud the efforts in this bill to improve the work we're doing in Alaska schools. There are many factors involved in making determinations about student progress and what kind of job the school programs and staff are providing for children. There is little doubt that much variety exists among public schools in our state. When the efforts to improve student achievement are not successful, it is our responsibility to do everything possible to help find solutions. In many communities, parents and leaders do not know specifically what to do to be helpful in our schools. This bill provides a mechanism to solicit ideas by those directly involved in the nurturing and education of our children. It calls for councils to be set up to provide input and advice from parents, teachers, administrators, and school board members. I don't see any attempt in the document to take away the authority and responsibility of school boards to exercise the oversight they were elected by the community to have. It establishes a formalized method for the Department of Education and Early Development to gather information and helpful data. It requires analysis to determine factors preventing success. This will help take a realistic view of what is happening, what areas of problem exist, and establish a plan to implement real solutions for improvement. There will not be easy answers to improve schools falling within the bottom 3% of performance. The goal of helping students learn is an imperative we cannot ignore, and this bill provides a method to address needs in a realistic way. Development of a plan will not work if the community is not included in the decisions about what will be helpful. There is high need to make sure that all stakeholders are included in the planning and implementation of any plan that is to be successful. The community involvement part of this bill is what will make it work. No one knows our children better than their parents and those who spend time with them every day. These are the adults who should have a big voice in what decisions are made to impact the learning of children. My recommendation to further enhance the work of the councils established to assist schools in need of improvement is to encourage the department to include national board certified teachers in the audits called for in this plan. Careful study of programs that have worked in Alaska schools and elsewhere will yield ideas to support improvement plans. For these reasons, and a firm belief that we must do everything possible to make sure that all Alaska's children receive a high-quality education, NEA Alaska supports Senate Bill 194. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. And you mentioned more community involvement. And, of course, the school boards are made up of community members, and we understand that. We certainly think that what we're doing here is just expanding that, broadening that a little bit to get maybe a little more diverse representation of folks adding their input to the school board. And I realize that's a kind of a thankless job anyhow, being on a school board. But it certainly is rewarding when things go well and obviously not very rewarding when things go down the tube. So appreciate your comments there, and we certainly recognize the issue and trying to address it. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Ms. Ngaiak. Nice to see you.
Good morning, sir.
My question is about the incentives for attracting highly qualified teachers and principals, the $5,000 grants. What is the position, what's your position, or I guess the NEA's position about that provision?
Through the chair. Senator, we are very supportive of all efforts to make sure that we have the highest quality teachers in our schools. And any efforts to encourage national board certification for teachers, we are in support of. We believe that all of our teachers ought to be recognized for the great work they do, whether they have that particular certification or not. But we are doing everything we can to support candidates for national board certification. We provide programs for them. We provide support in the area of organizational loans to teachers who are going through the process. And we believe it's a good direction for our state.
Thank you. If I could just a couple follow-up.
Certainly.
We have talked about national board certification in the past, and I think it's a great idea. Is that what highly qualified means in the context of this bill? Is it only nationally board certified teachers that will be eligible for this grant?
Through the chair, I cannot answer the question as the intent of the bill. We are convinced that the rigorous standards for achieving national board certification is what really will provide us with the highest quality of teacher.
And I agree, it's just not, and maybe I'll go back to Mr. Richmond about this. I just have some questions about how we're going to administer these $5,000 incentives. Thank you.
Other questions? Same guy. No. Thank you very much. Oh, certainly, Senator Stevens.
I try to go back and forth between the original document and this one we have here, and I'm not going to try that. But it establishes on page 5 of the old bill the governance council and what their responsibilities are. Is that still in the new bill? I've changed the name, yes. But it says that they participate in the hiring of the school principal. And ask Mr. Guy if she has any response to that. I mean, we have a clearer system where it's the school board's responsibility through the administration to hire principals. Do you see any problem in putting it on the hands of a council?
Through the chair, I would only offer an opinion because I don't know the direct impact of the language in the bill, but I would certainly give an opinion that if you have a school that is really struggling, there may be a need to look at a different method for making sure that you're hiring the very best person for the particular circumstance of that school.
Okay, thank you. And maybe we can have some clarification from your staff on, is that even in the bill? I'm not sure. Is there a bill in there? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Again, this time I'll put myself on the record. Murray Richmond, co-aide for the Senate Education Committee. I'm not sure in every district in the state, but in Fairbanks, there is a process whereby the community is involved when they bring a principal in. They invite parents and teachers to meet that principal. And different communities doing it a different way. The school board is ultimately responsible for hiring that personnel, but it can be a participatory process in terms of involving people. So, for instance, when they hired a principal at my son's elementary school, they invited parents to come and meet the prospective candidate first and got feedback, and then the school board made the decision. I envision that working the same way in this particular bill. If I may address Senator French's question about, in the bill we did not want to get too specific about defining what is a highly qualified teacher and come up with one definition that locks us in. Clearly, nationally board certified teachers is one of the best ways to identify that. We would leave the department to make that designation. If there were other ways, they wouldn't be bound by the one way. But that would be clearly the intent, is to find a mechanism where we can identify who is highly qualified, and those would be the people who would receive the incentives.
Certainly. Senator French.
Thank you. And would the bill only pay to teachers who are new to a district, or would it pay to teachers who are already in the district? And I guess I'm focusing on the word attract.
Currently, as written, it would be to attract new teachers. So it would be to new teachers. I can see how that would be a problem for teachers who are already serving. And through the chair, we could address that with the department to find a way to clean up that language.
And last question, who ultimately has the authority to award the $5,000 grant? Is it the principal? Is it the school district superintendent, or is it someone in the department?
Excuse me a minute. Let me look at the bill before I speak out.
Sure.
And while Burry's doing that, let me assure you that it was not our intent to usurp the board's authority to hire principals nor dictate that only nationally board certified teachers were the ones that were considered highly qualified. So if it appears that way, we'll certainly make sure that that is not how the final wording turns out.
Through the chair, this is in the original bill, this was done through the department, and the changes that were added were in conjunction with the local school board and the district superintendent. So the department would be working in collaboration to figure out how those would be awarded.
Okay, I'll just need a little more clarity. I mean, that's a pretty significant amount of money, $5,000. Someone's going to get that. Someone's not going to. And I guess I'm just sort of interested in who the ultimate decision maker is on that point.
But through the chair, that was included in the fiscal note and came from the department. That was not necessarily suggested by staff or the senator as a way to do that. So that particular incentive is that's up for discussion.
Okay.
We did not want to bind the department in doing it one way or another. This is what they came up with for doing it. So
I see. That's a fair comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Thank you. Other comments, questions? Next up then is Carl Rose.
No stranger to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I thought if I came up here limping, maybe I'd get a little bit of sympathy. We'll see.
Good try.
I don't think it's going to work, though. Yeah. We're not getting any, so
you don't get any.
Yeah, Senators, I'm sorry I wasn't here on Monday, but I understand that this draft that has been put out has rectified a number of the concerns that we had, so I do appreciate that. I would just share with you that school boards are people who are providing volunteer service to their communities. They do a tremendous service to their state. 53 school districts will disperse about $1.17 billion a year. They're the only people authorized to spend that money. On the other hand, what this bill speaks to is low-performing schools. And I appreciate the effort, and I will share with you that I believe it was 2 years ago, possibly three, 2 years ago, I think, we designated five schools that were low-performing schools with the assistance of the department and the structure that was currently in place. Two of those districts were able to work their way off the list. We still struggle with the remaining three. I look at this bill as a very positive effort to help us with the low-performing schools. If you look at the bill, it says a low-performing school for 3 years really is problematic, and we need to do something about that. I think that the department is looking for some direction and some assistance. I think this bill offers that. We're named in the bill. When I first saw the bill, I didn't realize that. We had not been contacted, but we do some work with the department on governance training for school boards that are in our designated low-performing school districts. Former president of this association, former national president of NSBA, Norm Wooten, heads up our Quality Schools and Quality Students Initiative, and he's involved in that governance training, and he is making a difference. So when I take a look at this bill, there are a couple things that I would bring to your attention. We do still mention on page three of the draft, on line seven, you still refer to governance councils, and I think, you know, if there's a reason for it to say governance council, but the rest of the bill has been changed to revitalization councils. And then down on line 31, we refer to three board members.
What page are you on?
I'm on this.
Well, the third page of the document, yeah.
Are you going on the paper that he just got through?
Going yes. Through?
Okay.
Yes.
We're looking at the original bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, anyway, on page three of the draft, highlighted in red, we talk about three board members being on this council. I would share with you, we have many five-member boards, and three members of that district would be a quorum of the board. I don't think it was your intent. We have members who have five-member boards, seven-member boards, nine-member boards, yeah, and 11. Yeah. I think three is appropriate for all of them with the exception of a five-member board. I think you want to stay with two because they don't constitute a quorum or a decision-making body. Let me share with you this. This draft resolution or this draft bill, I think, is important because, remember, we're talking about low-performing schools here. I think in these districts, they're struggling. They could use some assistance. They could use some direction. Currently, there's another piece of legislation that over in the House that takes issue with intervention and how it's being done. I think that this one is fairly descript. It authorizes the community involvement. It encourages collaboration and cooperation. I think that much of what is in here may satisfy and address some of the needs in the other body. I'm just speaking on a personal opinion there. AASB supports Senate Bill 194 in the draft that really looks at the whole idea of having a body that in an advisory capacity that can make recommendations to the board. I will share with you that people who operate in an advisory capacity, though they feel they don't have the opportunity to make the decision, they have an opportunity to give advice to the governing body. And that's a very, in my view, a very powerful position to have. Just as an example, if you look at the state board, they have two advisory members of that board. When they take a vote, they take the vote of the advisory members first, and then the rest of the members vote. So I think I'll cut it off right there. We do support this bill as amended. We think, I think a lot of people have a great amount of respect for the position of school boards, and these are citizens who are doing a tremendous service to their state. And but in low-performing schools, we have to be able to assist those schools. And I think this is an attempt to do that, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Questions, Mr. Rosa? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rosa, I'm hoping you can shed some light for me on what it's like in rural Alaska and in some of the villages and these smaller school boards. Unfortunately, we lost our rural member on the Education Committee. Senator Olson was on this committee for a long time. Now is Kodiak is our smallest district. So my concern is how effective these advisory commissions councils will be in some of the smaller areas, because first of all, there's probably a limited number of people that they can select from, and the people they do select from, I'm sure, will know the people who are on the school board and may feel reluctant to give advice that's contrary to the direction of the school board members. But I do know, as you mentioned, and we're not really supposed to talk about the other body, but that is a concern of the chairman of the education committee over there, is that you have the local input. So I think this would be acceptable to them, but how effective will it be in your opinion?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, throughout the REAA, the unorganized borough, they are required by law to have advisory boards in place. The regional boards deal with this issue differently. They refer to them as advisory school boards or advisory school councils, depending on what district you're in. Some of the boards has ceded authority, some limited line item authority, and even involvement in hiring superintendents and teachers. Others have chosen to use them as advisory to the board. So we vary in terms of how boards choose to use use locally appointed advisory members. This will not be they'll be appointed, but I think when you look at the makeup of teachers, parents, superintendent, board members, leaders in the community, I think you're looking at a different mix than may currently exist now. I think we appoint people to provide us with some advisory function, maybe even to make some decisions locally. It's different than what I think this will do. I think this will give direction to that board to actually look at these low-performing schools and make recommendations. That's not the role of the advisory boards or local school boards right now. They simply oversee their school, make recommendations to their board. I think from the standpoint of rural Alaska, and I've spent many years working throughout these communities, the frustration comes in that just the simple, if you just consider the logistics of a governing board getting together in some of these districts, they could be 60, 70,000 square miles, no roads linking them. And when you start to move into a community, if it's a small community, it's going to be very difficult to maybe come up with the numbers. But you have a provision in here that says you can appeal to the board or the department to lessen those numbers. So if you have a large community, you can meet these numbers. But if you have a small community, you may not be able to come up with four parents and four teachers and four community leaders. So I think some time was taken, and I was not involved in the drafting of this bill, but I think that some time was taken to, one, get some involvement from the community, and two, recognize that if you have a smaller group or smaller school, smaller community, that you can appeal to lessen that number as required under the law. And this will also have regulations promulgated by the department and the State Board of Education. So I think we'll work through that process. But I think what this bill is trying to do, once again, low-performing schools 3 years in a row, this is an attempt to do something to assist them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And of course, we don't want to add another layer as well in the middle here or on top of or whatever it is to create more not only confusion but more bureaucracy or create competition between what already exists. We're hoping to put something in place that is helpful bringing people together. So, Senator Stevens, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate what the staff has done here. It was quite alarming to me at our last meeting with the governance board, and I think this is a major step forward. I was looking at this through the eyes of a former school board member, but that was in the 80s. Carl was still there, but that wasn't in the 80s, a long time ago. And I tried to remember our responsibilities and our duties, and we were very prickly when someone tried to take those responsibilities away from us. I suspect that's probably still the same case with your school boards. I'd ask you to look at, let's see, it's so hard to deal with this, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth page in, line 10.
Could you tell me the section, please?
Murray, can you help him there? It's fifth page. It starts with 1, review the annual draft. And very specifically, what it says is, if no agreement can be achieved, not later than 45 days after the last meeting between the local school board and the Revitalization Council, the department shall decide whether to adopt the council's revitalization model, the local school board's alternative revitalization model, or a mixture of the two to implement. Do you have any response to that, Carl? I know this is throwing it to you without much chance to think about it, but it does put the department in the mix, and they are overriding the school boards, it appears to me. Can you find that?
I saw the review portion, but the rest of the language is different in this draft.
If no agreement,
so I must not be on the right page.
You work on the same page.
You're reading the bill?
I'm looking at the draft.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So if no agreement, not within 45 days between the meeting, board, revitalization council, the department shall decide whether to adopt the council's model or the school board's model or a mixture of the two. Does that cause you any concern?
Through the chair, thank you for bringing that forward. I had not noticed that portion of the bill. I think that we have two issues here. If you disagree with what the school board is doing, one has already been mentioned, the election process. Two is the recall process. School boards can be recalled. I think that the authority of a school board is such that we're the only body that can and will be sued in statutes. And our duties extend to the hiring, the dismissal, and the procurement, and just there's a whole list of things that we are responsible for. To get into a disagreement with the council, let's go back to this advisory revitalization council. I don't know if this language is necessary because they're advisory in nature. What you're doing is you're saying an advisory body and an elected body disagree, therefore somebody needs to come in as a third party and make a decision. I think our interest rests with the elected body, not the advisory body. So maybe that section may need some review. I had not noticed that, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions of Mr. Rose?
Well, that was relatively painless.
What's that?
Thank you very much.
I said that was relatively painless. Thank you. Thank you. And we do have someone online. Okay, very good. Said he was from Ketchikan. I figured that was the case. Byron Charles, are you with us this morning?
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I commend you people on working on educating our young people here in Alaska. As we all know, we're not only are we in the 21st century, but with our new technology, I find it very interesting that, let me use one primary example. like the care providers provided for the people in the community to take care of the elderly and everything, and the doctors tell me that, you know, it's pretty hard to keep the volume going, finding a professional to keep here in Alaska. I'm going to use that as an example. Same would apply to teachers, qualified teachers that are up with our technology today, dealing with computers, iPads, laptops, etc. None of these tools are going to be of any use to our future generation. What better way to encourage and be part of this growing technology that we have here in Alaska and throughout other states? It's really difficult to find people that are to provide those same skills for our future generation. But what better way to keep them interested in coming back to school, being excited to be a part of this new technology? I think part of the research should be taken into deep consideration as to how these new technology tools could be of some benefit to our younger generation to create some kind of foundation for them as well. Thank you for your time and allowing me to testify.
We appreciate your testimony. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. Anyone else in the committee room here to testify? Any other questions or comments regarding the bill at this point? And we do intend to have a CS, and we may, if we do have it, we will have a discussion, a little more specific discussion to it in better context on Friday. Senator Davis.
Thank you. I appreciate the work and the changes that you've made in the bill. We've heard from the school board, we've heard from the teachers association, but I want to hear from the department. You say you work with them, and some of the language you got here, you got from them. It bothers me when the department doesn't come forward and speak to what they support, don't support, or what they want in this bill, and I want to hear from them. Before a draft is done, I would like to hear from the department. And I appreciate the efforts that you put into this. I know this is better than maybe just doing away with something, and we know what's happening on the other body. And so I'm willing to work along with this, but I don't want to move too fast until I have a clear understanding that we're doing what is needed wanted by the department.
Okay. Well, we certainly have Mr. Morris here today, and he can give his comments on the bill in general and those changes that were made. However he wants to proceed with that, just launch into it.
For the record, Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner at the Alaska Department of Education Early Development. We have worked with the Senator's staff on the legislation in terms of providing some background in terms of what we currently do. I think what the department we feel strongly about is that communities should be engaged in their schools. And we recognize this is a bill that engages communities in the schools. I don't see anything in here that isn't workable for us to be able to move forward on. As a matter of fact, we tried to construct the fiscal note in such a way that allows Senator Thomas, his staff, as well as the committee, to really take a look at it, because we sort of envision certain things, but the committee may envision they look different than that. So we hope to learn more about the expectations of the different sections as the dialogue continues, so that if there's any need to adjust those items, that we can, in fact, adjust those items, because we may have priced something in a way different than what the expectation is. And one speaks directly to Senator French's questions around the bonus or whatever it might be called for teachers. Let me just speak to that for a minute. We envisioned really probably some sort of a grant process where these local councils might write for a grant to do something innovative that they think might attract teachers. It might be a bonus. It might be a loan. It might be a professional development incentive. It could be different things. That's what we envisioned. But if all those things could attract good teachers. So what we've been doing is spending our time of really trying to see how would you operationally put this in place. Again, if the committee thinks it ought to look different, then we would work with that. So at this point, you know, the department certainly could make all of these pieces work. We think communities being in schools is very important. And I'll take questions if you have them, or prepare to speak at a future date when the next CS is available for us to look at more deeply.
Thank you for that. Is there anything in the, at least the skeleton here that we have that is particularly bothersome to the department?
Senator Thomas, there's one piece that I was going to talk to your staff about, but I might mention it, and it's on the first page, and it's not bothersome. It's just the term being used. First page of the draft that was provided to you today, line 15, does use the word highly qualified. And under federal law, highly qualified is a legal term. Okay. And so the only suggestion as you make is that when you move forward on drafting the CS, that maybe we can work on another term. I don't know what the new term could look like, but just because that has a legal role under ESEA, and it could create confusion, so we might just find another term that works in there, and we'd be happy to work with you on that.
If you could help us get that definition, that'll help us find possibly another term. So,
so at this point, you're saying that the department is supported, will support this bill? I hear what you said. You can work with the bill, but you still didn't tell me if the department is comfortable enough to go on record saying that they think this is a good step in the right direction and the department is supported.
Through the chair, Senator Davis, because this is a working draft, because we haven't interacted with the governor's office, I think it would be premature for me to make a statement that I would support the legislation moving forward. I don't think it's inappropriate, however, for me to say that the department sees ways to make this work and will make it work if it moves through the legislative process and becomes statute. And I really can't offer more than that at this point in time.
That's as good as you get today.
After all. Thank you.
Other questions, comments? Thank you very much for your testimony. We look forward to working with you to try and refine the bill a little bit more and get a better concept to you so you can evaluate and get us a fiscal note. Any other comments, questions? Anybody else feel compelled now to testify? Senator Stevens.
No, when you finish testimony, I'd like to have a comment.
I think we're done. We're going to leave public testimony open at this point because when we come back with a CS, we'll certainly want to have further testimony so we, you know, see what the public thinks of it. Senator Stevens, you had a
just a comment. You know, the fact that we elect school boards is so important in a democracy, and the same way we elect our legislators or our president of the United States or whatever, that election process is so important, so ingrained, and even sacred, if you don't mind using that word. It concerns me in the page 5, what I just read, that an unelected department, who I have the greatest respect for, professionals and hired for their knowledge, is able to trump an elected school board, an advisory committee. As good as that sounds, and I like where we're going with that, I think it's very important to address these low-performing schools and find a solution, but an advisory committee that is unelected can trump an elected school board. I just think we're trampling on some very important things here, and I would appreciate your staff going through every line of this and making sure that, in fact, that doesn't occur. It's the school boards that have the responsibility. It's the school boards that can be sued if they neglect that responsibility. It's the school boards that can be unelected and thrown out of office. I direct you particularly to that thing, that one paragraph that says that if there's a difference of opinion, the department will decide whether we're going to accept the council's plan, the school board's plan,
or a mixture of the two. I don't think that can be. I just don't think that can be. So anyway, maybe we need a legal advice on this from our attorneys, but it does seem to me to head down the wrong road there. Everything else in the bill I fully support. I like what we're trying to do for local performing schools, but I think we have to be very careful of trampling on the responsibilities of elected officials.
I appreciate that, and our attorney was out of the room for most of that comment. He's back now, so. But yeah, we'll address that issue. I think that legally, probably we are treading on an area that is not our purview to change in this respect. So I've already underlined that and made a couple of notes to myself. So we'll certainly take a look at that and any other area that appears to be usurping the authority to the point where they make decisions that become rules, laws, whatever, when they're not entitled to that based on existing statute. So, other comments, questions? Other than that, everything's good? All right. Okay, let's see. We plan to take this bill up Friday, even though Marie may not be here, so I'll struggle with it myself to with the CS and any fiscal note that we're able to put together at that point, and because we want to at least move it along. Things will get a little busy here. We have a variety of other bills also to handle, so we want to get this one in what would be basically a final form. So we'll hopefully be able to do that on Friday, or at least get final comments of people's opinions on it and address those issues at a later date. But try and move it forward a bit. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just to remind folks that regularly attend these meetings, we will not have a meeting on Monday. I believe that's President's Day. And we'll have a meeting Friday and then resume on Wednesday. And those that may be following people transportation, we're still doing the survey and getting the data on the various costs for the school district. So hopefully that will be ready to pick back up Wednesday or Friday of next week. I think Wednesday we're kind of looking at doing a VOTEC day. So, and then sometime there, shortly thereafter, we want to address, I know of interest to many members on this committee as well in the community is the pre-K programs. But that will probably still be another week or two yet before we address that.
That's right. So in that case, SB 182, the pupil transportation will not be on Friday. Anyhow, we're aware that that's not going to have all the information that we think we need to move forward with that. So with that, any other comments or questions or anything else to come before the committee? If not, then we will adjourn. Thank you.